Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. I'm Jason Powell, and today is Thursday, October 1st, 2015. I am going to be reviewing the TNA Impact Wrestling Show that aired on September 30th, 2015. I will be following along with John Moore's Impact Wrestling Television Review. You can do the same. It went up on Thursday morning on ProWrestling.net, so if you want to follow along just to get an idea of where things are going, you can certainly do that. And this was the go-home show for Sunday's Bound for Glory pay-per-view, which I'll be covering live at ProWrestling.net, along with the Madison Square Garden live special that WWE is doing on Saturday night. So if you're looking for some live coverage and commentary, ProWrestling.net is definitely the place to be on Saturday night and Sunday night. As far as this edition as a go-home show, it had its moments. There were certainly some things on there that didn't really feel like it applied to the pay-per-view. You can chalk up some of this to probably the fact that the company taped way back in July, I believe, is when this show was taped. And so they added a couple of things to it, including Matt Hardy being added as the third man in a three-way now, is what the main event of Bound for Glory will be, with Matt and Drew Galloway challenging EC3 for the title. They also officially added Kurt Angle and Eric Young in a backstage segment. I'm not sure how much of this was just last-second additions and how much was actually planned and they wanted to surprise people. I would hope that the Matt Hardy thing was a last-minute addition, because there was a story to tell there that they didn't really tell with Drew Galloway. The broadcast team picked up on it during the main event. They did a good job of conveying it, which is that Drew Galloway would actually, the odds, it always gets quirky when they start working into the odds improving or decreasing, but just the fact that here he had a singles match scheduled for the TNA Championship, and now at the last minute, and he earned that by winning a five-way, now at the last minute, they're just adding Matt Hardy to it if he and Hardy could beat Tyrus and EC3 in the Impact main event. And so Josh Matthews and D'Angelo Gennaro, the Pope, who were on commentary for this show, were there to tell people about that hey, this, it's got to be in the back of Galloway's mind. I guess one of the problems is they'd already shown like an office type setting, it looked like, with kind of bad audio of the of Galloway endorsing it. And Hardy, I didn't think came off well, as we'll get into, but I thought Drew Galloway did in that segment. So that's your main event, and Jeff Hardy is the referee for the main event. I'm never a big fan of three-ways on, what is this company's biggest show of the year as the main event. But in this case, it seemed odd that they didn't have Matt in the title picture, considering that this show is in the Carolinas, it's in Charlotte on Sunday, and it's Hardy country, and Jeff Hardy's not able to wrestle yet. So you would think that is where they're going to build to EC3 and Jeff Hardy, which makes me think EC3 retains, but I don't know. But I do feel like you needed to have Matt Hardy in there, and I wonder if it was just like they thought, well, late walk up, kind of final push, we'll add him. I don't know. But now that they've done it, it feels a little overbooked for what I prefer in a big event, main event, with three guys wrestling, Jeff Hardy a special referee. A little too much going on for my taste, but at the same time, I think it can be a good match. I was looking forward to Galloway and EC3 in a singles match. I think that would have been a lot of fun. But Matt Hardy now in the title picture, and I think they could have a good three-way. It's just there's something less prestigious to me about a triple threat match than there is about a singles match on a big man, big match show, like, or a big main event basically there, as they would, I think, tell you, their version of WrestleMania. Before we get into the show, just a quick word about ProWrestling.net and the member side of things. It is an ad-free version of the website, and so you can access everything that we have, audio content included. We do audio reviews for all the major television shows, and so if you don't see them on the all-access side and you enjoy it, know that they are there on the member side of things, and the members are enjoying them. Again, the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net. If you have an iPhone or an Android phone, you can enjoy the perks of membership right there on your phone once you sign up for .net membership. You can access the forum, you can listen to our audio content, all that good stuff. And membership rates, the best part is they start as low as $5.50 a month if you take the annual option. That's what it breaks down to monthly. If you just want to try it out for 1 month, and it's a good month to try it with all this stuff going on here with Hell in a Cell and TNA Bound for Glory and the MSG Live Special and a whole lot more, the price is just $7.50. Details available on the main page of ProWrestling.net. Just look for the sign-up area. You can't miss it. It's right there on the page. And once you're in, it will take you just a matter of seconds to sign up for .NET membership, unless you're really slow. I mean, if you're slow, it could take more like minutes, but I think for the average person out there, and I think you guys are all of at least average intelligence and certainly smarter than me, it is not a long sign-up process, and you can enjoy nearly instant access to all those perks that I was mentioning earlier. So if you enjoy our audio content, I think you will enjoy membership. And know that just today, Jake Barnett and I recorded the .NET Weekly audio show, a 72-minute show, and we ended up discussing probably 30 minutes worth of what the hell is going on in WWE and what they can do to get things back on track as far as the ratings are concerned. And we're talking, you know, long term, not just, well, bring in Brock Lesnar as they're doing on Monday, and that should solve everything. There's bigger issues there, and Jake and I get into that. Again, that show's available each and every week for .NET members. Now, back to Impact. We opened things up with video package, and then once we got through that, we had EC3, and he was cutting a promo, and then he ended up calling out Dixie Carter, and she made her entrance, and she kind of put him in her place. And I'm not big on having Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, Dixie Carter, the owners all over television. I in TNA, I will say that unlike WWE, Dixie doesn't come off like the most important person on the show right now. There was certainly a time when she did, but now she's kind of settling in as that babyface authority figure, kind of. I wish she just would get off television, but at least it's not as overbearing as it was, and certainly not like Triple H and Stephanie, where it's like from segment to segment, are they heels, are they baby faces, you don't know. But she did a good job of praising EC3 for being tremendous in the ring, and then saying he's deplorable outside of the ring. That's what she has a problem with. And she also talked about how Drew Galloway saved the company from the whole Global Force Wrestling thing. And she said that EC3 did nothing had nothing to do with the fight for the family's company, and mentioned how he warned Dixie not to trust Jeff Jarrett. And then he said that Dixie couldn't handle this, and pointed out that Dixie's chosen one was facing him in the main event, and there was no way that Drew Galloway was going to beat him. Enter Drew Galloway. He did a good job here. Galloway is a good babyface promo, and he lays it on very thick. I mean, he's very much, just a white meat baby face, if you will. And he does a good job of it. It's a little bit awkward at times because he lays it on so thick. But I think he's kind of finding that spot. When he was with The Rising, it was a lot worse than it is now. I think he's starting to kind of find himself and know where that line is. And he walks right up to it in terms of just being eye-rolling material. There's that point where somebody's just so nice where eventually she's like, oh, God, stop. It becomes a turnoff in a weird way. And with him, he's finding himself now. The Rising version of Drew Galloway could be eye-rolling. What we're seeing from him now, he just comes off like a good guy. And so I hope to God, like, the main event on Sunday doesn't result in Drew Galloway turning. It's not that he can't play a heel well. I think he could. But I think they have something good here going with his babyface character, and I'd hate to see them mess that up. So I do think there's some money in Drew Galloway. But anyway, Galloway stood up for himself and tore into EC3 a little bit. And Galloway said that, or EC3 said that Galloway was facing God mode and was going to stand down on Sunday. And Galloway said he's no savior, but on Sunday he will be the world champion. And then Galloway and Tyrus were ready to tease a fight, but Tyrus and EC3 ended up backing down. And so a good opening segment with the guys we thought were going to headline the pay-per-view in a singles match. And I'm guessing they thought they were too. I don't know how the Matt Hardy thing came to be yet. I'll find out. In the broadcast team discussed things and then hyped the upcoming segments for the remainder of the show. We got a James Storm promo saying that Koya was the reason the Revolution members doubt him. And he said that the no DQ match that they were going to have, Koya would find out. And of course, Koya, if you're, it is Mahabali Shira, as they're calling him now. I thought it was Shira. Now they're calling him Shira. But they may even be dropping Mahabali, which is fine, because it's Once you learn how to pronounce it, it's not bad. The first few times, you're like, "Ma what? Ma huh?" Yeah. Well, it's because I know noticed as the show went on, Josh Matthews kept referring to him more so as Shearer than anything. So we'll see if that happens. But a quick Storm promo about that match, and they went to a commercial break. And then when they came back, EC3 was approaching Dixie Carter backstage and told her she will enjoy how he destroys her Golden Boy. And he said he was going to destroy the future before it even starts by ending Galloway's career and title aspirations. And then we got a video package to set up the first match, which was James Storm losing to Mahabali Shira in 7:33. This one, it was no DQ, and Storm dominated the bulk of the match, but Abyss and Manic came out. And it was the unmasked version of Manic, who I think they're still calling Manic, even though a lot of people know that his name is TJ Perkins. But they came out and held up one finger, I guess that was like the sign for the revolution or something. And because Storm was pleased by it, and he did the same, but then they lowered the finger and pointed it at Storm, and Abyss gave him a black hole slam, and then Manic ended up giving him a frog splash, and then Shira hit a sky high for the win. Shira's terrible. I mean, really, really bad at what he does. But I mean, he's just so green. It's not, you know, he's just new to this, and you know, they are trying to do more in India. They're trying to please the television partner they have in India as well, and so I get it. I get why he's on the show. That goofy little dance that he does nothing for me, but it does seem like there's some people at least in the impact zone that get a kick out of it. So Shira wins, and I don't know if this was Storm's blow off, because remember he was he put out the tweet not long after these tapings saying that he had fulfilled his obligations with TNA. Now we've seen other guys that looked like they were on their way out that ended up going back and doing more, so we can't rule out that possibility. We had Bobby Roode talking about the King of the Mountain title and what it meant to him. I don't know why it would mean anything to him or anyone else, because it's been like five different things. I won't even bother to go through the list of things that this little red toy belt that nobody cares about has been in the past. But he did talk about how the title's important, very important, and he was going to explain right after the break. And so they go to commercial. We get more Dixie and EC3 backstage first. And he talked about how she's failed on every decision she's ever made. No comment. Dixie said it was time to up the ante. And she said that a man who has done a bunch of great things for the company was facing him tonight. And she said if EC3 and Tyrus lose, Matt Hardy would be added to the Bound for Glory main event, making it a triple threat. And she teased more announcement for the pay-per-view. Then it was time for Bobby Roode to come out with the little red toy belt. And he ended up talking about how the King of the Mountain title means pro wrestling. No, it means it's a, even if it's just, you're just willing to accept that, forget the belt's history, forget all that, it's just, it's now it's the King of the Mountain title. If you're willing to look at it that way, it's not the Legends title or any of these other crap that they've used. It means it's a title belt that they basically gave to the winner of a King of the Mountain match. And it looked like they were going to have King of the Mountain matches with the champion for these awful matches, but now they've just decided it's a singles title. That's what it means, and I don't know why it exists. I don't know why King of the Mountain, of all things, is what TNA would call a title. I don't know where it fits in anywhere. It's just awkward. It's the TNA champion, the X Division champion, the TNA Knockouts champion, and the King of the Mountain champion. What does that mean? Roode just cut his usual promo about, well, I shouldn't say usual promo, but he was talking about loving the sport of wrestling and dignity and respect and yada yada. And then he ended up saying that he was going to issue an open challenge. I don't know where we've heard that before, but he was doing so for Bound for Glory. So it's, I don't think it's like the new open challenge title yet. I think that would be a little too much for TNA to take that idea, given that WWE is back to doing it with John Cena again. But these companies do get inspired by one another, to put it nicely. So who knows? But Lashley was the one who took him up on this, and this was all about respect. He respects Roode, and he came to TNA for two reasons: to face the best wrestlers in the world, and I don't even know if he got to the. Oh, the second one was to get his hands on as many titles as possible. Well, you should go after meaningful titles, Bobby Lashley. But he asked for one more match with Roode. And this did get the crowd to chant one more time, and he and Rude ended up agreeing to it. I shook his hand and said it would be an honor to face him at Bound for Glory. So Rude is back to being a babyface. I can never tell, is Bobby Roode a heel or a babyface these days? He's like WWE's version of Big Show. He's turned so many times. But here he appears to be a babyface. Lashley is a babyface, so they can just go out there and have a good wrestling match. But as I've been saying in audio lately, I do fear that the TNA creative team has had way too much downtime. They really haven't had to do much of anything since July, and they've had this Bound for Glory pay-per-view just sitting there. Is this going to be the most overbooked show in TNA history, which would be amazing? I mean, it'd be must-see TV for all the wrong reasons because they've really overbooked the hell out of some shows in TNA. I hope not. I mean, I hope this isn't, well, Lashley turns or Rude turn. I just give me a straightforward match. I wish this were just a number one contenders match. I really do. I wish it was, get that little red toy belt out of there that no one cares about. Maybe they can turn it into something, maybe, but the King of the Mountain title, that's what you're going with? Strange. In the Dollhouse room, Taryn Terrell spoke about, well, just your usual Dollhouse things, and they're setting up a match with the beautiful people for later in the show. They go to a commercial break. We get DJ Z. Well, actually, he lost the match. It was Trevor Lee defeating DJ Z and Tommaso Ciampa in 4:17. This was good. I mean, as far as like match quality goes, there was some good work here. I spent the whole match fearing that they were going to put over DJ Z because he's a regular in TNA, and I think the guy has talent. The problem is he's been branded a complete jobber. I mean, he's a wrestler who thinks he's a DJ. I mean, that's the character. And he is a DJ legitimately, but it doesn't mean you need to like incorporate that into his character. Zema Ion was fine. There was nothing wrong with him. DJ Z screams undercard, but he was pinned in this match by Trevor Lee, who is getting a tag title shot. Meanwhile, DJ Z is getting an X Division title shot on Sundays. It is part of an Ultimate X match, go figure. And Ciampa is already working WWE's NXT tapings. So I don't know what any of this means, but I do know that it was a decent match. And they did not brand the other two losers by having DJ Z beat them. So Trevor wins. I like the action. This is more along the lines of what I want to see from the X Division with some notable names from the independent scene that, and I'd ideally like to see TNA bring some of these guys in on a regular basis so they're not just kind of, you never know who's coming or going in the X Division. I still would like to see more singles matches in the X Division. But at least, hey, it's three guys, and the match didn't really serve much of a purpose, I guess. You can argue that, well, Lee's getting a tag title shot, okay, but then shouldn't he, I mean, if you think about it, shouldn't he and Brian Myers have just beaten some other team? I mean, hell, it could have been DJ Z and Ciampa. It wouldn't have mattered. But so it was a little bit awkward in that way. It really didn't mean anything as far as Bound for Glory is concerned. But I want to know more about the personalities of these guys that they're bringing in. That's been an ongoing issue with the X Division, along with these train wreck matches that the TNA likes to book. We just don't know much about the personalities. And so hopefully that's something that can change. Trevor Lee's been on the show on and off now for a little bit, and I don't feel like I know the first thing about this guy, other than he worked for Global Force Wrestling. And even though they lost the battle to TNA, he's just welcome to pop up on TNA television whenever he feels like it, apparently. And they'll even give him and his Global Force Wrestling tag partner another shot at the tag titles on Sunday. Strange. We got Jeremy Borash backstage with the beautiful people. Madison Rayne, I think, was in Becky Lynch mode or something. She was trying to be quirky while talking about the Dollhouse name and how it doesn't make sense. I'm like, this is bad. And Angelina goes, I think what Madison was trying to say. And I don't think Angelina was trying to be like call out Madison because they easily could have just done a second shoot, done a retake on this. I think they want Madison to be quirky. Maybe it was just for this promo, and I hope so. We don't need anyone quirky in the Beautiful People. But they all took turns talking about how they're going to get their hands on the Dollhouse members. And we went to a commercial break. We got a Brooke Tessmacher, if you will. I don't even think they're using that name. So just a Brooke. She should have a last name. That's just me. I was like well, John labeled a training interview. I don't know what you'd call it. It was just kind of a feature on Brooke, I guess, and I liked it. I thought this was well done. And she talked about winning the championship and then losing it to Gail Kim, and it just was there was nothing that she said that really grabbed my attention. It's how she said it. She's well spoken. She's likable. I think she has a really good personality. She came off as intelligent and just athletic and everything you'd like. Now, if only TNA would make her stop bending over and shaking her ass as part of her entrance. I'm a red-blooded American male. I like a good ass shaking. I do, but I don't need to see this in the Knockouts division. It's worse than Nikki Bella's pole dance or whatever the hell that thing is that she does. You're trying to I well, WWE is trying to send more of a women's empowerment type message than TNA is, that's for sure. I think TNA should be doing the same. I think TNA should be focusing on I would make Brooke the centerpiece of the division. She doesn't have to change anything other than not bending over and shaking her ass, and I want to hear from her more. I liked Brooke coming out of this more than I ever have watching her go out there and put on a tits and ass show. She can work, and I think that she's the perfect person to be that athletic babyface type, where if she stops shaking her ass, women may see it and not want to turn the channel. You may actually want your kids to go ahead and watch Impact if you can get past the stupid TNA name. But you combine the TNA name with, here's the babyface knockout, and she's bending over and shaking her ass. It's too much. So I'm hoping that will change. They interviewed EC3 about the addition of Matt Hardy to the match, and he said he thought Dixie was a winner, but that decision was questionable, and he called Matt Hardy a weed and said that he and Galloway are going to lose, and he told Drew Galloway that he will also lose tonight and on Sunday. And he said this will not end his title reign, regardless of what Dixie throws at him later in the show as well. Then it was time for that Beautiful People against Dollhouse match, and it was Marty Bell, Jade, and Rebel defeating Velvet Sky and Madison Rayne in 6:28. Angelina was at ringside. They're with I think her arm was in a sling, and they were playing up the attack of Taryn. Angelina, if you've been following along, she announced she and Davey Richards announced that she is pregnant. So I don't think we're going to be seeing Angelina back in the ring anytime soon. And I'm curious to see what happens with Taryn, because the reason that she hasn't been wrestling on at the last several weeks of Impact Television is that she was out with some sort of a head trauma issue at the last tapings. And so she was there, but she just was unable to wrestle. The match itself, it just wasn't all that. We've seen better work, and I don't know. Angelina Love is still kind of basically the same person. I mean, when she's heel, it's certainly amped up, but I think she's still kind of the same person she's always been in the Beautiful People. Madison, when she's not being quirky, is, but Velvet is like trying to play this tough girl, like this tough rocker girl. And I mean, it's a different wrinkle for a character. I'm just not sure how it fits in with the Beautiful People, but I guess it's better than just going back to doing the same thing over and over. So I'm open to it. I want to see how this works, but the Dollhouse one, and this was another match where I'm watching it going, I don't know how this plays into anything at Bound for Glory. I don't know why I'm watching this match right now. And on the go home show, I want a show filled with stuff that drives me to order the pay-per-view. So and maybe they're going to do more Bound for Glory, but of what we see advertised, this really didn't play into anything. We got Eric Young backstage flipping out, and he's just screaming at the top of his lungs. And I think they overdo it with Eric. I think Eric Young is talented, especially. I mean, he was the kind of mascot type baby face for a long time, and there were times I liked it a lot, and there were times where Super Eric where it went too far. But he's good at that. And as a heel, he's done a better job than I anticipated. He does play the heel. I think TNA really they like this more than I think most people do. I mean, he's been all over television, and he does a pretty good job with his promos. What we saw last night from Eric Young was just obnoxious. It didn't make me want to see anyone fight him. It didn't make me want to see someone, just all the wrestlers gang up on him from TNA. It didn't make me think he was crazy. It made me want to turn the channel. That's the problem I had with this Eric Young. It was just, he's over the top as it is, and this was over the top Eric Young times 12. It was bad. And it wasn't just this backstage clip. It just kept happening. And so anyway, we go from there to another break, and Josh Matthews saying that Dixie Carter and Shira were going to make a major announcement next Monday. The idea that it sounds like TNA will be heading to India and possibly taping some television over there as well. We'll see what happens. I'm curious to see what airs on next week's television show, because I think they're out of first run matches from this last set of tapings. People in TNA in the office have told me that it's going to be a first run show, first run material. I'm just not sure what the hell it's going to be. So I guess we'll find out. But the announcements, it really is expected to be that TNA is going to be touring in India. I believe it's late November and into December. And so yeah, I guess and like I say, taping some television over there. So it'll be cool. I mean, they did a nice job with Ring Ka King over there. And I mean, it explains why they're going so aggressive with Shira. They even did something where you can do Shira's dance on social media, and you can win a free viewing of Bound for Glory on the Flips app and get a call from Mahabali Shira. Boy, really? Man, that dance just does nothing for me. If you're out there going, "I kind of like the dance," well, God bless you, but it does nothing for me. We got a Gail Kim interview, as she talked about her match with Awesome Kong that's going to be taking place on Sunday. That's what I'm looking forward to. I don't know if they can do what they've done in the past. I think Gail is still every bit as good and probably even better than she was back in those days. Kong in that back, I just don't know if she's capable of going the way she once could. And but hey, maybe Gail's good enough that even if Kong isn't able to do what she once did, Gail might be able to make up for it. I'm looking forward to seeing them try. I think that's one of the real attractions of Bound for Glory this year. And then it was time for Eric Young to come out, and yeah, he ranted and raved, and he ended up, long story short, he got roughed up by a bunch of people in TNA. And this was payback for what he did by joining Global Force Wrestling. As I talked about last week, he hedged his bets. He said he had an ironclad contract with TNA, so he just hedged his bets by going for Global Force Wrestling, because if they had won, TNA was gone. And so I like that logic, but this was just kind of payback for that, and it didn't make me want to see Eric Young at Bound for Glory. He didn't have a match announced at this point, but it didn't make me want to see him at Bound for Glory or any of these other people. We ended up with Matt Hardy talking with Drew Galloway in a meeting room somewhere, and this is the one where the audio was kind of clunky. Matt didn't come off well. He was just, you almost expected him to be a little bit apologetic or apprehensive of telling, of talking to Galloway now that he's been added to the match. But it was just like he was kind of, he wasn't like being heelish, but I just thought his character kind of came off as being a bit narcissistic by just looking at it from his point of view, and didn't expect this today, and then just going on about how much he wants to win the TNA title, and he won't die, and neither will his desire to win the TNA title. And I'm just sitting there going, wow, I it didn't feel realistic. Like if somebody, if this is a real life situation and you're in Galloway's shoes, you're just listening to this guy going, what an ass. How about, hey, I didn't ask for this, and I just want to assure you of that. And I hope that you understand none of that. So I thought Matt kind of came off awkward here. But Drew Galloway made up for it, basically, the way he was scripted, because he was just completely accepting of it. He kind of sat there a little hunched over, listening to him and all that. But then once it was his turn to talk, then he was completely accepting of it. And I think they even hugged or something, or they shook hands. And whatever it was like they just want to get. They want to get that title off of EC3. It was kind of made the best man win type of stuff that plays right into what Galloway's character is. And I just hope we're not looking back at this in some recap video next week as they explain Galloway deep down was really pissed and that's why he turned. I don't do it, TNA. We got more screaming Eric Young. This time he's screaming at Dixie Carter. Things aren't fair. And she said that Young would only have one person to worry about on Sunday, and that's Kurt Angle. And then Angle thought that, or Young thought that Kurt Angle was gone, and he yelled no. And it, again, just this was not good Eric Young tonight, not at all. We got the Bound for Glory lineup was listed by the broadcast team, and from there they went to And there was hype given to the possibility that Matt Hardy could be added via the main event of the show. And so they went to commercial, and it was time for that match. And we ended up with the team of Drew Galloway and Matt Hardy beating EC3 and Tyrus in 9:25. So Matt Hardy, because of this, earns a TNA title shot. It was Drew Galloway pinning Tyrus. And we also got Dixie Carter coming out afterward and announcing that Jeff Hardy would be the special referee for the match. The match itself was pretty tame. You know, it wasn't... The added stipulation just came out of nowhere, and there was a story here to tell, you know, and Josh Matthews did his best to tell it, which is that, you know, Galloway, how does he feel about this? And I they really could have done, they could have built the show around this and put some, you know, inserted some questions as to what Galloway would do. It works to his favor to not have Matt Hardy out there. Then he gets his one-on-one match. So how's he going to handle this? And, you know, and it just would have been a good story to tell. And instead, it was just a straightforward match, you know. And then Dixie makes the announcement. Everybody's happy that Jeff Hardy's going to be there. So, I mean, there was a lot. And the other part of this, too, I think you could have made the Jeff Hardy announcement sooner. I know it was they wanted to go off the air with it. Had you made it sooner, it also could have played into this. Like, wait, Galloway. And I kind of fear that if they were to turn Galloway on Sunday, this would be part of the logic, too. You know, Galloway was okay with it when it was just Matt Hardy, and it was like, kind of felt a little bit cheated that he earned this singles match, and now Dixie, just on a whim, is making it a triple threat. But then she also adds Matt's brother as the special referee. That's a bit much, isn't it? You know, there was a story to tell that really could have made for a good morality play as far as Drew Galloway's concerned, and, you know, how is he going to handle this? And they didn't really set that up as anything for the pay-per-view either. There wasn't any question as to where Galloway stood. He was happy when Jeff Hardy came out, you know, so, and wasn't named a special referee. So Drew Galloway is like the nicest guy in the world, apparently, and Matt Hardy is a bit, I don't know if narcissistic, sociopathic. I mean, it's just like the world's all about Matt Hardy on, and just his character here on this show. But I enjoyed last week's edition of Impact a lot more than I did this one. But this show had its moments, as I said, you know, and I'm curious to see what they do at Bound for Glory. I'm looking forward to covering the show live more than I thought I would, because some of these recent TNA lives, you know, the pay-per-views have just, it's like you feel like nobody's watching and there's just not much interest in it and the lineup is what it is, and then they end up overbooked. Where this one, hey, it looks good on paper. I'm looking forward to seeing this lineup play out. Again, I just hope it's not overbooked, and I look forward to seeing what they do in the venue that they're in. You know, in they're not in the Impact Zone for this. They will be in Charlotte, North Carolina. Speaking of which, it's could be in the path of the Hurricane. And I mean, it's not just TNA. I mean, they're saying like the weather folks are saying that could bring 4 inches of rain on Friday night, and then the storm could be severe enough on Sunday and Monday to topple trees and cause flooding in the Charlotte area. And they have a live event in Virginia. The governor there has already declared a state of emergency before the storm hit and is warning residents to prepare for the possibility that storms could cause road closures and power outages. I did ask somebody in TNA about this, and this person said it's not really his area, but he knows that they've discussed some contingency plans. And I'm kind of, you know, they haven't issued a statement on the matter just yet. And it's worth noting WWE with Boston on Monday for Raw. I don't think that it's considered as much of a, I mean, they're going to be affected, but it doesn't sound like, just reading what I have, it's like, yeah, there's going to be some strong winds and heavy rain on Monday is a strong possibility. But the question is how this hurricane, which direction it's going to go. I mean, I'm not a meteorologist by any means, but just reading up on this, it's like they're kind of waiting to see the path that it takes and wherever it goes, although it's, you know, dying down slowly. I think it's a Category 4 as of earlier today, and they expect it'll be Category 2, which is moving downward. And so I don't keep up on what the categories mean, but I know that 2 is less than 4. Well, it is in general, but when it comes to categories, it is 2. So hopefully it's just going to die down completely, and it won't be an issue for TNA or WWE, or more importantly, anybody in those areas. But something to keep an eye on this weekend with WWE and TNA both having shows, with TNA especially kind of looking like they're right in the heart of where this thing could end up going. We'll see what happens. But that's going to do it for today. Join me on Sunday night for live coverage of TNA Bound for Glory. And again, on Saturday night, live coverage of the WWE Madison Square Garden live special. Thank you for listening, and take care.